Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Catholic faith is this: that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. Not three gods, but one God in essence. Not three lords, but one Lord. And yet not one person, but three persons. Tri-unity, three in one and one in three. You got it? Yeah, right. Of course you do. Or do you? Well, today is Holy Trinity Sunday, the day we celebrate the central and great paradox of the Christian faith, namely that God is both three and one at the same time. Mathematically not possible, with God all things are possible. A paradox, two things that you must hold together at the same time. Three persons in one divine essence in three persons. Strange? You bet it is. Irrational? Oh, yeah. Though you can understand it well enough to repeat it and confess it as we do every week in the Creed. And we will shortly do so in the words of that lengthy Athanasian Creed, which we dust off once a year, which summarizes 400 years of struggling to say it just the right way, and even then it only gets approximately there. We can only come to an approximation when speaking about God, as though we were looking through some dirty window pane, not quite seeing clearly, but seeing enough. We can describe God with words like person and being and essence and substance, and at the end of the day, we still can't explain God or quite get a bead on him. How can something be both three and one in the same time? There are all sorts of failed analogies. One set is the mathematical analogies. I used to use these all the time. We use them around here, too, though we may not always notice them. The triangle. Triangle has three legs. And normally when we diagram the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we use triangles. And yet that doesn't quite say it, because each leg is a part of the triangle, not the whole thing. And so that doesn't work. St. Patrick legend has it held up clovers, the three-leaf variety, the ordinary variety. And that's why we have triangles and little clover things all over the place, because we're Holy Trinity. By the way, it's our 48th birthday this year. Man, we're getting middle-aged and feeling it too, aren't we? Yeah. That's another sermon for another time, perhaps. Maybe when we hit our 50th in 2 years. Plan ahead. It's coming. And those of us who are over 50, we know what that's about, so we're getting there. But triangles and clovers and all these three-in-one and one-in-three things that don't quite get to it. Three leaves of a clover do not quite work for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because, again, it's just one part of the whole. A cube has three dimensions, height, width, depth, and together they make a cube. Without all three, you don't have a cube. You have a square or a line. But the problem is that that is a dimension of a cube and only one side of it. Some people like the hat analogy, or like I call it, the Halloween costume analogy. That is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is like someone who wears three different hats or three different costumes. For example, one might have three identities, a father, a husband, a son, at the same time. And so in the same way, God has three roles or three hats or three costumes, a father, a son, and the Holy Spirit. It's clever, but it fails totally. When Jesus prays, he's not praying to himself. He is praying to a distinct person, Father. A distinct person sent him. The Father sent the Son. When Jesus breathes out his Spirit, he is sending a distinct person, the Holy Spirit. They are not the same, and yet they are all of one essence together. As a chemist, I rather enjoyed the triple point analogy of water. At its triple point, water coexists as ice, solid, as liquid, water, and as vapor, steam, all at the same time, all in the same place. All are essentially water, but they're simply different states of the same thing. But, nope, that doesn't quite do the trick either, because Father, Son, and Spirit are not simply modes or states of being, but they are distinct from each other and not interchangeable. Nor can you convert one into the other, like you can with ice and water and vapor. So, the error is called modalism, by the way, if you want a nickel word to take home today. It's where you don't have three distinct persons, but you just have three distinct modes of God's presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's one of the two ditches that you will fall into when you cease to juggle the paradox of God's triunity. The other ditch is tritheism, three gods, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm a little bit nervous about invocations, usually printed in bulletins that haven't been worked through by somebody else, that run in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way Jesus said it. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one name. That's the triunity of God. If you say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, that's three gods. And that's what Islam accuses us of being. Muslims accuse Christians of being tritheists. In fact, that's what they call us, tritheists, because we have three gods in their way of looking, not just one God, because they can't fathom how God can be three persons and yet only one being. So if you lose the persons, you will end up as a modalist or popularly a Unitarian. And if you lose the essence, you wind up with three gods and you become a tritheist. It's not easy being a heretic, is it? No. The closest that anyone has ever come to a decent analogy, in our terms, is St. Augustine, who used the analogy of love. Try this one, walk around the Trinitarian block for a while with it. The Father is the lover, the Son is the beloved, and the Holy Spirit is love. Not bad. Still falls short of the glory, though. All we can do is distinguish the persons. The Father uncreated, unbegotten, unproceeding. The Son begotten from the Father. The Spirit proceeding from Father and Son. That's how it works. That's what the scriptures say. That's what distinguishes them. And yet there is but one God. And whenever God deals with us, he deals with us according to all three persons, each according to what is properly his at the same time. The trick to all paradoxes is to stay on the road and don't drive into the ditch, confessing both but favoring neither. It's not really that hard to just say back. It's impossible, though, to rationalize and fully comprehend. We worship three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet we worship one being, one essence, one God. That's it. It's as simple as that. Say back what the scriptures say, not one word more, but not one word less. And the Trinity is literally all over the scriptures once you get the knack of it. Even the opening verses of Genesis in the beginning of the creation, where the Father speaks the Word, who is Christ, as the Spirit hovers over the face of the waters, the deep. In the Revelation, the Lamb, who was slain but lived, who is Christ, sits enthroned at the right hand of the Father, as the Spirit flows like a crystalline river from the Father and the Son. In today's Old Testament reading from the Proverbs, the Son is personified as holy wisdom, begotten from all eternity, from before the beginning of the earth. In his Gospel, John puts it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And those Jehovah's Witnesses who come a-knocking at your door don't like that very much, and so they have to add a in front of God. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And so they become polytheists, too, because they can't bear the paradox of something being with God and God at the same time. Think about that. How can you be with God and be God at the same time? And you heard that in today's epistle reading with Peter quoting the psalm. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. God talking to himself. Jesus confronted his detractors with that psalm, and he asked them paradoxically, how can David's son also be David's Lord? How can the Lord and my Lord talk to each other and sit next to each other and have a conversation and yet there be only one God? And finally, in today's gospel, we have Jesus himself being confronted with the paradox of who he is as the Son of God in the flesh, and the religious types thought he was nuts. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? What a great question, huh? That's their way of politely saying you're nuts. And anyone who claims to be the Son of God in the flesh is truly nuts, or delusional, or demon-possessed, or at least a Samaritan heretic. It's a crazy claim, and it's worthy of all dismissal. If I made that claim to you, that God himself is my Father, you'd have every right to ignore me and tell me to seek help immediately. You can't really blame the Jews for doubting Jesus. Here he was, this carpenter from Nazareth, claiming not simply to be the Messiah, the Christ, that's one thing, but claiming that God himself was his Father, that he was sent by the Father, that the Father glorifies him with a glory that exceeds even that of Abraham and Moses or any of the prophets. And then Jesus rubs it in a little bit, rubs a little salt in the religious wound, rejoicing that by faith Abraham delighted in seeing Jesus' day. He acted as though he and Abraham had this kind of first name basis, best friends relationship, which they had, and that they had seen each other, which they had. And then Jesus pushes the big button and he flat out says it, before Abraham was, I am. And this doesn't simply mean that Jesus is chronologically older than Abraham. It means that Jesus is the I am, the ever-present one. That's, by the way, on the nimbus surrounding Jesus' head on the bulletin cover. That's what that says in Greek, I am, the one who is, ho-on, the one who is. That is the great I am, the one who Moses spoke to and saw in the burning bush, Yahweh. Of that ineffable name, the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who keeps covenant, who shows mercy, who forgives sin, who raises the dead. They understood precisely what Jesus was saying. There was no mistake in their hearing. They immediately looked for stones to throw at him. He claimed to be, I am in the flesh. It's an audacious claim. He deserves to die. He is crazy. Or delusional. Or he's telling the truth. The core truth of today is that the doctrine of the Trinity is really about Jesus. It's not some speculation about who God is. It's not a theory about God. It's not some kind of idle talk about what we think God is. It's all about Jesus and his being sent by the Father to save the world, to save you personally. If the Son of God had not come into the flesh, then there would be no need for this Trinitarian paradox. We could all simply be Unitarians and worship the Father or Jehovah or Yahweh or whatever name we wanted to call him or her. But when the Son of God shows his face to the world and he suffers and he dies on a cross and he rises from the dead and he claims to be the Son of God who reveals the Father and he sends the Spirit to us, all religious bets concerning God are suddenly off. Luther hated speculation about God. He hated it when people went beyond the Word of God and started using philosophy and logic to try to make sense of God. Luther was fond of saying that he knew no other God than the one who nursed at his virgin mother's breast and who hung dead on a cross bearing the world's sin. That's his God. That's the God that he worshiped. It's very tempting to speculate about God and come up with all sorts of clever analogies and theories and alternative theologies, but that's nothing more than idolatry of the mind, our fashioning gods for ourselves in our own image and likeness, gods that fit conveniently inside of our heads, gods that are easily explainable in a book called God for Dummies. God comes to us in his eternal Son. We know God by knowing Jesus and being known by him. And we know no other God but the one who is revealed in this Jesus, this God who suffers, who dies, who rises, who sends his Spirit, who brings us to the Father. The triune life of God is also our life in holy baptism. We are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We live and move and have our being within this triunity of God. This is where our life is, worshiping the Father in the Spirit and in the truth who is Jesus, claiming God as our Father, Jesus as our brother, the Spirit as our advocate, friend, and guide. We are loved by the Father in the beloved Son who bears our humanity, and we are drawn into him by the Spirit through the word that is preached. They wanted to take up stones and throw them at Jesus. That seems a little bit over the top, doesn't it? They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him for telling the truth, for saying that he was the Son of God. They couldn't bear the thought that the word could become flesh and dwell among us. They couldn't bear that. Sometimes we can't bear that either. We may not take up stones to throw at Jesus, but we have our ways. We have our ways of rejecting this, ignoring the word, ignoring the sacrament. We have our ways too. Spiritualizing God. God in our heads. God off in space somewhere. God in our feelings. God anywhere but in the word and in the sacrament. That's the God for us. The God who can save from sin, from death, from the power of the devil is the God, as Luther said, who nurses at his mother's breast and who hangs dead on the cross. God must draw near to us. God must empty himself of his divine glory. God must take up our humanity. He must become one of us and one with us in our humanity. God must humble himself under his own law and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. And being humbled in our humanity, God must himself be exalted, raised to life again and glorified at the right hand of the Father, now bearing our humanity at God's right hand, so that we too in Christ are glorified. Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Self-glory is vain glory, empty glory, narcissistic vanity. The Father glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies us by his dying and rising, and by the Spirit whom he breathes out over us in our baptism. And then we, trusting that this mysterious triune God is merciful to us and gracious to us and justifies sinners for his Son's sake, we worship this Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity. And we live in the love of God. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. That's the word for today. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.